And we're rolling episode 50 of the Moto 247 show. Really pumped for this episode, hitting a mile marker, even though it's took a little bit of time. But we're here for episode 50, brought to you by MCR Suspensions, Whiskey Throttle Grips, Prism Designs Graphics, Anchor, and JC Rider Development. And we're with the one and only Joey Crown right now. He's in studio. Been a while since we had anyone in studio, and the last guy was Dean a couple weeks ago. So we're finally getting this going. So super pumped on that, and ready for this episode. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing good. Happy to be here. It's been a long time coming, I think, for to get me in here and have the timing light up. So I'm excited to make it a good show 50. Got a little bit of video action.
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous. The camera's like eyeing us down. So
Yeah. The camera adds some pressure, but no, it's going to be a fun time chatting about dirt bikes and partying. Whatever, you know, having a good time.
Yeah, who knows where it's going to go, you know, but no.
Bulls at Coyote Joe's, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty entertaining, but I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I wish we had a better race leading into this episode, though, because Glendale, like, can you agree with me? That had to be the most boring race this year by far, I think.
Yeah. I was, you know, thinking Glendale usually is always a good track, a little bit bigger floor. The dirt's normally pretty good, and then it's Triple Crown, so it's like all everything you could want in a race is what I was thinking going in. But yeah, it didn't really turn out to be that way, unfortunately. It was kind of, the track got really hard and slick. I mean, it reminded me of like kind of Vegas conditions, and then the track was high speed, which led for minimal passing, so it kind of was just watching. Everyone, whoever get the start, it just kind of stayed in there. Whoever make a mistake, like the whoops were gnarly. Those were insane. And guys would make mistakes in there, and then guys would get past there or whatever. But unless if you're just Sexton, you just are BA in the whoops and go right on Tomac.
Yeah, we were talking about that right before we started recording here. And like seeing him stall, and everyone I know had to be thinking, oh God, he's going to make another mistake again, throwing away another race. And he just made it look like nothing, just buzzed right by him. Like, that was insane. Especially in those whoops. But yeah, like I was pumped with the track layout, like seeing it with the over under being at that angle there and having some good rhythms and stuff. And Glendale's always pretty good, and you know, got the big track layout, like you said, with the big floor space. But dang, it was just a boring race. Like I was sitting on the edge of my seat, like, come on, something has to happen. If it was, you know, within Tomac, Sexton, and even Roxon was there, but up front for a while. But overall, it was just a really boring race, but we can dive into it right now, talking about the 250s. The 250 segment brought to you by MCR Suspensions. And as you know, Jet Lawrence got the win, finally a Triple Crown winner. So I'm really surprised it took him this long, though. It's a long, long time coming to get a Triple Crown win, or overall win, I should say. But finally got it done in his last Triple Crown in his 250 career.
Yeah, and it wasn't easy for him, which is, you know, cool for us to watch. I should know this. Oh, RJ got in there. Was in the second one, right?
Yeah.
RJ got the win in that one. Yeah. Yep. So it was cool. It made it, you know, had RJ, in Kitchen was second. I mean,
he looked good. Like he looked fast.
Yeah. Jet was third in the second one. So it's cool going into the final race. It was kind of winner take all between those three, which is, pretty entertaining. Leading up to it, and then the race was kind of boring. Jet just got out front and did his thing, which I know he was happy about. But I was bummed. I thought for sure Kitchen was going to be better in that last one. And his starts were on point all night, and he got a good start in the last one. And I was thinking, like, you know, his speed was good too, and the second one was really good. And then unfortunately RJ's start was pretty crappy, but it was a little bit, like I said, kind of somewhat boring. But I mean, it's watching dirt bikes on Supercross. It's a boring dirt bike race is better than any sport, football or soccer, in my opinion. I know I'm probably gonna catch some hate on that, but
yeah. But it was better than the off week. And the off week is like, oh, what do I do? Like, there's stuff, plenty of stuff to do, but like, I just want to sit down and watch Supercross. Come on. But it sucks with McAdoo being out, but still, even then, I see him being right there with Hampshire, maybe. But I think Jet was, it's crazy how he's just hanging around those guys. I forgot what moto it was. He was just hanging around them, and then he's like, okay, let's drop the hammer and pull out, like, or just pull away. And he made it look like it was just nothing. Like, the kid's insanely talented, and I just wish there was some more competition. Like, I was even thinking to myself, there was some years, like, I don't know, like 3, 4, 5 years ago, where everyone's always excited for the 450 class. Obviously, you got Tomac, and there's Dungeon over in the past and stuff that always made it exciting. But for years, like, the 250 class was more entertaining for me. And, man, this year sucks. Both coasts are absolutely horrible. Like, the Lawrence brothers are just dominating. But still, like you said, it's dirt bike racing. Still really good. But there's still some good racing in there. Like, have a couple incidents. I'm looking at the results right now and seeing Yoder's name, and that reminded me of that that incident he had with Cole Thompson. And you just sent me that other that angle of it where Cole Thompson just dragged Yoder, like, he was tangled in the back of Cole's bike, and he just dragged him for 50 feet or so. I'm like, is he gonna stop?
He's hoping he's gonna break loose.
Yeah, Yoder's like, wave, like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. Yeah, I was I saw nothing wrong with Cole's deal. Like it was kind of bad on Yoder's part for not seeing that happening. Like, Cole had the door. I mean, or Yoder left the door open, I should say, and Cole just went through it. And Yoder could have slowed down and caught underneath him, or just slowed down and not hit him. But he stayed in it trying to race. And in that situation, you know, you can't really do that. And as you see what happened, and then Cole, like, bad on Cole's part, he should have let off the gas, you know, not just tried pinning it.
I want to know what he was thinking, though, because there's probably a reason. Like, he's like, the, I don't know if he's trying to process that or what, but he was just like, took him a good couple seconds to look back. And obviously right away, he probably didn't know what it was, but still, like, it seemed like it went on a little bit longer. But then, to make that whole situation better, Yoder stands up and his pants are down, his ass is hanging out. So I see his, like, a bunch of pictures all over Instagram of him mooning the entire crowd.
Yeah, and then he's like stumbling over to him and slaps him upside the head.
Yeah, getting in his way.
it was funny. And then I guess it, like, it foreload over after the race. Hunter went over there and was screaming at Cole and the team, and it was kind of a big ordeal, which, like I said, Hunter needs a little bit thicker skin, because that, in my eyes, that wasn't that bad. I mean, the thing where Cole just kept on the gas once he got his legs in, like, that was dumb, but, like, that pass, I mean, it was on Hunter for not chopping the throttle. Like, he could have avoided that situation, but, you know, I think he's a rookie, right? Or is this his second year?
No, it's his second year, because last year.
So it's still a young kid. So he's going to make mistakes like that. But it was cool. He called into the Pulp Show and talked a little bit about it and, like, basically said, like, my bad. Like, I talked to him. Like, we're all cool now, which is cool. He did that and explained the situation a little bit. But, yeah, that was good. And, and then another thing, like, a rider that I thought did really good was, like, Derek Kelly. I'll go to Enzo first. I'll go to Enzo and then Derek. But Enzo, the first before the red flag, like, I was stoked. He got a good start, and his starts have been horrible lately. Really bad, but his riding's been good, and he got a good start. I'm like, dude, like, I think he's gonna contend for this podium, at least in that one main there. And then they red flagged it, which, I mean, they had reason to, like, it just sucks I never saw it, but Styles crashed, and then everyone piled into him. Yeah.
Well, just at least the aftermath, I guess. No one knows how he crashed. But.
Yeah, I didn't see a clip of how he crashed. I think he said something like he spun out in the corner but still went for it and cased it, and he was fine. But Mitchell running into him is what broke his leg, which sucks. I mean, Mitchell couldn't have done anything. It was blind jump, but. And then, what, 3 or 4 other riders slammed into there?
And Mitchell got the shit in. Well, I shouldn't say that. I guess Styles did. But say you got the shit into the stick there, because he got screwed over in that the other race, too, with RJ going into Volin, and Volin went into him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he had that incident, and then he had the incident there with Styles. But obviously, I think he'd rather, you know, come out healthy, unlike Styles, which, you know, broke his leg. But... he got it hit by another rider that was coming there. But yeah, Styles, like, absolutely got destroyed by those guys. Like, I felt bad. That was pretty gnarly. Just seeing that aftermath of the video that the broadcast had.
Yeah, the guy's just piling into him. And you can't see Styles. You know, he's down there under the bikes or whatever. It's pretty crappy. And then, like, going to that Volant Is it Volin and Mitchell?
RJ, went up into Volin and Mitchell on the far outside. And that
when room. I first saw it, I'm like, what? Like, the I was thinking, corner. I thought it was all Volin's fault. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, that was stupid. You know, Mitchell's not a threat to you. Just pass him in the next turn, whatever. I thought he tried taking him out. And but then, yeah, watching the replay, RJ clipped him and he like whiskey throttled into Mitchell there. And then they both crashed.
The bikes got tangled up and it seemed like they're sitting there for a second trying to pull. I don't know if his bar was in his wheel or something or like somehow jammed in the front end there.
Yeah, they came
exactly where, but
each other pretty hard there. But then, like I was saying, Derek Kelly rode really good too. He's been a solid guy this year, really solid, which is, you know, cool to see. Just looking at the list here, I don't know if anyone else you want to talk about.
I just want to talk about Enzo for another second here. Like, it's so cool to see his progress he's made, like, over the last couple of years. Because it seems like each year he's getting a little bit better and better, and he's battling injuries there and stuff. But I guess I want to get your take on him. I heard he's not doing outdoors, so it just sucks because, like, it sounds like he's the guy, like, everyone's talking about within the industry, and even seems like factory teams are interested in him for next year. But it's like, I hear he's not doing the outdoor, so it seems like that can only kind of negatively affect you at that point. But, I think his best overall finish was 10th or something. I heard someone say in the outdoors. I don't know if that was Paul Pomex that was saying that, but I don't know. Like, he's doing really good this year in Supercross, but I don't know, just not doing outdoors. Like, how would that affect you for, let's say, if Red Bull KTM is going to, you know, be looking at you?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of shoots him in the foot, I think. I mean, Supercross is the discipline that you want to be good at. It clearly is. Like, if you're good on Supercross, people are going to sponsor you. Teams are going to pick you up if you're better at Supercross than Motocross. But they do want you out there in Motocross too. Like, Red Bull KTM ain't gonna sign them for, you know, Supercross, AMA Supercross, and World Supercross. Like, they're not gonna do that, you know. So, I mean, if I was him, I would love to do World Supercross for sure. But if I was in his shoes and had to deal to do World Supercross, I would try to do a few outdoors as well. I don't know how the schedule lays out, but I'm pretty sure you can, you know, do a few.
Yeah, what's it, July that I think the World Supercross starts?
Possibly July. Sometime. Yeah. Yeah.
During the middle of the year.
He could do the first few rounds or something of outdoors to show that he can ride outdoors and do as good outdoors as he's been doing in, which I think he's riding, you know, the best he ever has and is riding better than he was when he raced Moto last, whenever that was. But so yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. But like his speed and how he's been doing in Supercross, like, I would be shocked if he doesn't get a factory ride next year based on Supercross. But I mean, him not doing outdoors, then that makes it a little bit more like, yeah, it's a possibility. Him not ending up on a team for the next year, or factory team. Like, he'll be on a Elise Club for sure.
Which they're coming, like, you know, you're on the team and they made like tons of progress from your first year on the team. Well, heck, you were even on the team when they're in Canada, they're on KTM. But even from that first year doing Supercross over here, when they merged with Traders, then to your last year with them, and it seems like they made a lot of progress. And now it seems like they're really up there, you know, battling with factory teams and, you know, getting guys like Martin now. And which I was a little bit shocked last year they got him, you know. Or I guess not they got him, but Martin signed with them over like Star. But
yeah.
It seems like they're killing it this year, and really pumped for them. Just trying to pull up the futures stuff right now.
Oh yeah, I've got all the futures. I'll add a little tidbit to the club team, but like the first year, I mean, they had a team back in the day, I think 2011 or somewhere around there, but then they came back with a team in 2018, and they did do Supercross that year on KTMs, but I had a snowboarding incident with a tree.
A day with a tree.
Yeah, and that was not good. So it took me out of my rookie Supercross season, which is very frustrating, and I haven't snowboarded since. It took me out of the rookie Supercross season, but I did do Canadian motocross with them, so that was cool. But getting to my point here, like in in 2020 and 21 when I was on the team, just speaking to my experience with the bikes, like they were good. They were fast. Like I, in 20, the two races I did do before I got hurt, unfortunately, it's been the story of my career injuries, but, Tampa, heat race, I crashed in the first turn, but I managed to qualify still out of the heat, but in the main, and I was like a top 10 start, like, and I was like nervous, you know, all this stuff, and I still ripped the top 10 start. And then the next weekend, I mean, Hill got the whole shot in the one main, and I was, I think, third or fourth. I was top five in the other one. So like the bikes were good then, like, and then this is, you know, that was, shoot, man, that was 3 years ago.
That's crazy. Time flies.
3 years ago. Dang it. And then 21, my last supercross race I did at Daytona, I mean, I got credited with the whole shot in the heat race, which I didn't come out first. I came out third because I was on the outside, but I got the whole shot essentially in the heat race. And then I got both of the LCQ whole shots. So, you know, my point being the bikes are good. You know?
Yeah, every race. I just watched the highlights of that the other day, and it was like every start you're up to the front again.
Yeah, the bikes are good. I mean, I'm a good starter, you know, not to brag, but because you can see it's not a perfect machine. Enzo, he can't figure it out. Maybe I need to give him some lessons or something on his starts because he's clearly not getting it. But yeah, they're really good bikes, and it's cool to see them doing so well and becoming another big team. You know, I think they're chopping at the heels of the factory teams essentially with their rig and their setup at club, and you know, it's pretty cool.
They look pretty factory, I'm not gonna lie. Like their setup, their riders and stuff, the rig too, like we saw in Detroit. It's like, damn, that's,
yeah,
like it'll be cool to see them up there, like if they continue on growing, and if guys like Lopes and let's say Marchbanks comes back riding really good, and Martin, you know, if they don't leave to go anywhere else or leave to go to the factory teams, it could be really cool to see that, what they can do in the future. And two, I'm really excited that I guess to see what Honda does, because there's tons of rumors revolving around the Lawrence brothers and when they move up, what they're going to do for their 250 program, if they're going to expand and or not expand, but just give some more funding to like a team like Phoenix Racing or something. I think it'd be cool, but it's pretty cool to see these satellite teams really coming and really growing and making a dent, you know, up there in the top five of the results and stuff. So pretty cool. I got the Supercross future results pulled up, and that race was pretty interesting to say the least. I thought Ryder was going to dominate that, but I was wrong. So good thing I wasn't playing fantasy with that, if there's such a thing, because my fantasy year has been horrible this year. But a little bit of a surprise. I was just kind of surprised with Ryder D going back down after doing a few outdoor races last year, and he already, you know, he has a national number, you know, 75 right there, and he's going down and doing Supercross futures. What's your take on that? Like, I get it, more gate drops on a Supercross track and whatnot, but still, you know, he was pro last year. It's like kind of dipping back and forth.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that Mitch didn't, you know, say, come on, move on up, you know, to the because Mitch, like all of his riders got hurt. And continue to have some crappy luck. So I was surprised he didn't just move him up, but I think he did get injured, I believe.
Yeah.
So I think that's reason being why he didn't move up and race the pro class. But it's catch 22, like while they're letting them jump back and forth. I mean, I envy it. Like I wish I could have did that and, you know, towards my end of my amateur career, because I, like when I turned pro, I saw what it was like, wow, this is a lot harder than I thought. I thought my bikes were really good, but they weren't close to the speed as the factory bikes. And I struggled. There was a little bit of reality check, but man, I remember that like feeling, you know, racing with those big dogs. And then if I were to go back to amateur national, it would have felt, you know, like a local race, you know, going from racing the top dudes, and you know, Shane McGrath, I don't know who all was racing at the time, Sexton, Faulkner, I don't know who all the guys were, Ferrandis, probably, bunch of legit guys. And, you know, if I was able to go back to the amateur races, I feel like that would have helped huge, and I would have felt like a man amongst boys, you know. So him being able to do this,
Yeah, I see it, but what's that, like 45 points until you point out of the outdoors?
Yeah.
Like, that's huge. Like, that's almost two overalls if you go, like, 1-1, 1-1, you know? Like, that's... Yeah. Yeah. Or no, that's...
What, is it 45 points or...
That's not four moto wins. That's two moto wins. Der, but
you're thinking of Supercross.
I'm thinking of Supercross, but no. Little slow which is here still right now, but still, that's like if you get two wins, though, that's like just, you know, right above 45 points. That's 50 points in the outdoors, yeah. Which it's kind of crazy. So let's say you go 3-3, and it's like, okay, you can still, you know, race next round, and then you probably point out in the next moto, but still 3-3, like you're right there with the title contenders. Yeah. At that point, so.
Well, then, and then kind of getting to the point where I was rambling on is like him coming to this race and not winning definitely doesn't look great. Like,
I know, that looks so bad.
Yeah, the Julian Ballmer kid, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, but like him, you know, coming out and winning like that, and he like dominantly won, like, does it say 4-second lead? Like, that's huge over Ryder D, and D's like, PC's, you know, Fortner or whatever, like the up and next kid, right?
Yeah, he's been.
And Ballmer kicked his butt. Like, he looked solid. And yeah, that was really impressive for him to do that. And I was kind of underwhelmed a little bit with Dax. I was hoping he can do better, which his start was bad. And then it's hard to pass there. And I think he's messing with Cochran a little bit. But yeah, it's sure entertaining, but it's cool. Like, the top. I guess they only showed the top three, maybe four guys, but like they looked like they belonged on that track, you know. Some of the futures races, it's like, you know, there's one dude or two dudes, factory guys, they look like they belong out there, and then everyone else, like, you're just biting your fingernails because you think they're gonna crash everywhere.
The video of, what was it, Arlington and the Whoops?
Oh yeah,
and this practice, and,
yeah, carnage is,
yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's, I'm like, where am I? I'm at a fair cross right now.
Yeah, no, just endless endos.
Yeah, you know, the Whoops are pretty gnarly there, but those guys still have incredible amounts of talent, but still, just seeing that, I'm like, holy crap. But I wish they showed the age. I'm on the results right now if you guys aren't watching the video. And they don't show the age, but curious to see everyone's ages in here, because I don't follow amateur racing that much anymore. Kind of sucks because I really followed it really closely for years. But now it's like, I know the top five. Well, that Julian kid, I'm like, where the hell did he come from after A1 having that ride, you know?
Dude, yeah, I didn't
Privateer
hear gig. Of him until he showed up,
at the, they got that deal right after there.
Yeah, I never heard of the kid before that, which he's from, like, Havasu, Arizona, which is, Millsaps is from there, which I think he's working with Davey. But, yeah, it's crazy. I never heard of the kid before that. But, I mean, I'm not that in touch with the amateur stuff anymore. It's like when I was in it. But still, like, you've heard of Casey Cochran, Finnis, and Bennick, DeFrancesco, like, all those guys. You've heard of those names before. Especially for a guy like that to be this good right now. It's hard to believe you don't know his name.
Yeah, I don't know anyone outside the top six right now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look. No, I don't know. I can't name a single, like, put a face to a name at all.
I do not.
But like you were saying, I was surprised with Bennick. Like, I thought he was going to be better, but like you said, he got a bad start and all that. But still, like, he looked really good. Like, he looks like he belongs out there, and he could be up in the top 10, you know, in either coast, I think. I don't know. Like, just seeing, he didn't look out of, you know, like a fish out of water at all. So I'm, you know, curious to see how he's going to do in his rookie year. But yeah, like, and then I guess the other surprise, which we talked about, was Ryder D. So, curious to see how he's going to do in the outdoors, but, you know, he has some outdoor experience under his belt, so not like he's jumping into something new when he's, you know, going out this summer, but just crazy. The whole PC team, man, that whole PC team just got annihilated, and Mumford's a little banged up still, and I guess Blos is the guy holding on. Well, Mumford's still racing, but, you know, Blos is that the warrior right now. That's
so who is it right now? Is this Blos and Mumford?
I think so, yeah, with McAdoo out, yeah. So imagine all the sponsors paying all that money to be on the team. That's, you know, well, for years, like, PC was the team. Now it's, you know, Star.
Dude, like, if I got offered to ride for PC right now, I don't know. It's like.
Like, fuck, like, one eye and all. I'll race.
Yeah.
I'll race Atlanta.
I'll race, but yeah, I don't know. That team's got a jinx on them.
Yeah, you might.
The filling guys are safe, so if I'm filling in, it'll be okay. But as long as you're not, like, a permanent staple on the team, like. Seth or Forkner, McAdoo. Yeah, all those guys.
Yeah, it's crazy, which really sucks. And I see that Moto Memes page always posting stuff about Mitch drinking. And then right when you think you saw it all, it's like another week of another guy going down on that team. And it's another photo of Mitch drinking up. Like, I feel so bad because Mitch seems like a really cool guy. And, you know, that team was just so powerful. And it was the powerhouse, you know, not even back in the day, you know, but still even not that long ago. Like, it was the team to be on and stuff too. And apparently, like, listening to that interview with Mumford on Paul, he was saying the bike's absolutely, you know, phenomenal. Can't freaking talk right now, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah. But the bike's absolutely amazing, and just, I don't know if it's bad luck or what. Like, there's just some like weird cloud over the pro circuit rig or what. But yeah, so rolling into the 450 set. Well, do you got anything to add to the futures or 250 class? I guess.
No, I'm good, ready to roll on 450s.
Okay, got the 450 results pulled up, and man, we got Tomac out there extending his points lead and shaking Cooper Webb off. So there's only one solo guy out front with that red plate coming into Atlanta this week. And man, Tomac rode really solid. I was hoping, I don't know, like Sexton, what was he, 18? Or no, he was 22 points down, right, going into this Glendale this last round here, so.
Yeah.
I was hoping he can kind of creep his way back in there a little bit. Like, obviously, that's a big gap to make up on two guys. But, you know, Sexton rode really good, though. He showed speed, and he made, you know, that one mistake of stalling. But besides that, he was pretty solid. But
the biggest mistakes were just his starts weren't good. You know, they weren't good enough to compete with those guys. I mean, the second main, he got the start, so that was good. And then he stalled it, and I'm like, oh, there's Sexton being Sexton. But he passed Tomac right back and killed it. Like, Tomac was all over him, but he just rode good. He rode solid. Like,
didn't even take long to pass him back at all.
Oh, yeah. I was like, right at the next straightaway. Just killed it in the whoops. So that was cool to see. It's good to watch. Good to watch him. Like, keep it on two wheels. He had the one mistake of stalling it, but he didn't crash at all night. So I think he was happy with that, which I would be too, you know, building off that. And, Tomac, that was amazing. That was really good. That was this right here.
he cashed in. He cashed in, got that.
That
win bonus and everything, and another,
yeah,
the checks are rolling in for him right now.
Yeah, he's killing it, and he's loving life, and it's cool. Like, he had that lull there in the middle of the season, kind of when he hurt his neck, which I was like, yeah, like, you know, I was thinking it's kind of just an excuse. Like, it was weird, like, neck, hurt your neck, but he didn't crash or anything, and I was kind of bummed, you know. I'm like, damn, like, Cooper was starting to pick up momentum, and I'm like, okay, the championship's over. Like, Cooper's gonna close it out, and then like the early season Tomac's back, you know, his starts are back, his speed's back, you know, these other guys are in trouble for sure, and Webb for sure struggled over the weekend, underperformed. I had him in the top three at least. I didn't know the track was that hard pack and fast. After seeing that in the first main, I was like kind of bummed I picked him in my top three, because I knew he would kind of struggle there. But I don't know. Anything you got to add to that? I'm rambling on.
Yeah, I don't know. Webb, like, I thought he was going to be up there, and he just has that confidence. You know, he's pulling out finger guns and stuff right now. Like, he's just mentally, like, right there. And I thought he was going to be better, because it was a point where, you know, someone was going to lose the red plate unless both of them DNF'd or didn't even make the main, I guess. But, I thought he was going to be right there. And Tomac just had a huge round, and 7 points this late in the championship, I think, is huge. Like, what's there, 5 rounds to go or something? What round was that, 12? So, around 5 rounds to go, and, like, obviously 7 points isn't that bad to make up, let's say. Like, not too much to ask for, but still, like, seeing how Tomac is, like you're saying, how he's that early season form, and seeing, like, I guess Webb still is, you know, he's Cooper Webb. Like, you can't count him out. Like, it seems like right when he gets everyone talking crap about him, that's when he performs his best. So, you know, I don't know. Just, I thought he was going to be up there further. in the pack there, and I thought he was honestly going to keep that red plate. But I guess nothing's too surprising when it comes to Tomac, though. He's the man. But yeah, Sexton was right there, and he looked really good. And then Barsha finally got a podium, you know, in the Triple Crown. Like, he's been making all those videos talking about getting a podium and on his BAM TV and stuff. So it was cool to see him up there. And this year, man, he's been a surprise. Like, let's just zoom out a little bit on this whole year for Justin Barsha. Like, what do you think about Barsha? Like, normally he's right there, but he's just a tad bit off those guys. But now he's, like, coming through the pack and catching these guys and just, you know, getting right in there where he's on the edge of, you know, the podium or whatnot. But still, he's looking pretty fast. Like, going back to Indy, too, you know, he almost got rocks in there late and got that win, but was just a second off, not even. But he's been right there, and he's been looking good. You know, he's like fine wine, getting better with age, I guess. He's kind of like, he must have that that same gene that Brayton has, I guess, because he's looking really good this year. And, you know, it's the end of his career pretty much, last couple of years. I think he's only going to do two more rounds, I think he said. So, but yeah, he's looking really good. And then I thought Plessinger was going to be up here the last couple rounds, not specifically Glendale, but after his ride in Detroit. But yeah, he was there in P7, so hanging around where I guess we expect him to. But I
expected him in P8.
Yeah, the wild card, yeah, for fantasy.
Yeah, I would have been in, and then Anderson had a tumble in the whoops.
That was pretty gnarly.
Pretty bad tumble, yeah. I was for him. Thankfully, he's okay, because I thought for sure he was hurt. That was a gnarly crash. A gnarly one.
Yeah, what's Roxon is looking at the results right now, so if you guys can't see, I guess, know what we're doing. Roxon's P5 with a 5.35, but he had that speed there for a second. Like, he was right outside. I don't know what moto it was, but if it was the... It must have been the second one. He was up front.
He was third, yeah.
Like, Anderson, he was right there.
Almost got him right at the finish, but he was riding good for sure.
And even that one moto, he was up there. Then Sexton got him in that last corner, which I was kind of rooting for, because I'm like, you know, hopefully Sexton can get rocks in there. And then somehow, if he wins the third moto and Webb gets third, or no, Webb would need to
second, then
Tomac third. Mm-hmm. They get that gap in between him and Tomac, which just didn't happen, unfortunately, but. I don't know. I'm a huge fan of Tomac, huge fan of Sexton, so I get to see either of those guys winning. And even Webb, like, I know there's a lot of Webb haters and there's a lot of people on the Webb wagon, but I don't know. I just have a lot of respect for him. But it's cool seeing Tomac and Sexton win. But I thought Sexton was going to do a little bit better, get some more wins this year later on in the championship. But, you know, we still have 5 rounds to go, like I said, so plenty of racing to be had. But, yeah, I'm just hoping Rocks can get up there. And looking at the results, who else do we have? Josh Hill, I don't know, I guess kind of random, but getting P15. Oh, I forgot, I wanted to mention Kevin Moran's. What do you think about that? Because I see people talking crap on, I don't even know what Instagram page it was about, it might have been the Supercross Live Instagram page, talking crap about Moran's. And then I heard the Pulp show last night, I was watching that, or what's it, Wednesday, so it was Monday night.
Yeah.
And they're talking like, what in the hell is he thinking? And then I go on Moran's, well, I didn't go on his page. I saw his page on my timeline, and everyone in his comments, I'm like, I have to go see these comments. So I clicked in the comment section, and everyone's like, you were good. You were so good. You were good. Where's the applause button on here? Like, I didn't, like, they're just like, oh, you tried. And it's like, I don't know why Tomac cut over. I'm like, oh my God. They're just like kissing his ass. Like,
he had the door. Why would he not cut over?
Yeah, it's like, what? It made me laugh because everyone's just like just bending over, you know, trying to like be nice to Kevin in the comments. But like, I was impressed. And I think it was even me, or I don't know if it was me and you talking about the start, or if it was me and Dean talking about it. But we're like, oh no, that was the group chat. Dean's like, is Moran's going to get any more starts tonight? And he's like, you know, he has 3 shots at getting a hole shot tonight, but, you know, couldn't make it happen. But he wasn't letting go. You know, he had that $5,000 bonus from his title sponsor on the line. He's like,
he didn't care. I was going to T-bone Sexton, whatever. It didn't matter.
He's like, I'm going to get that $5,000 or die trying.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know what he was thinking there. He just didn't let off the gas. The door was closed and he tried slamming through it. And like, dude, you can't do that. He got lucky. He didn't screw himself up for sure, or anyone else. Can you imagine if you'd have took Chase or Tomac out?
Well, that would have sucked.
Like,
Sexton was pissed too, and I saw he posted that start on the story.
Yeah.
Some guy came over and ran into me and blah.
Yeah, some guy.
I totally understand where he's coming from.
Saying staying. But yeah, it was ridiculous. But
then we have Sealy down here in P18. Where is he at? 18.
I didn't even know he was racing.
He went 16, 17, 20. Yeah, I don't know if he's doing any more races. I knew he was doing the last two for sure, prepping for World Supercross. And I like whenever they talk about World Supercross on the Supercross broadcast, they say, I'm doing another championship. They don't say, oh, yeah, I'm doing World Supercross later in the year, so I'm coming to get some seat time and some gate drops and whatnot. Like, they must tell him beforehand, don't mention the name World Supercross.
Yeah.
Because I noticed that, like, multiple times.
I can see them doing that.
Because, yeah, every rider's like, yeah, I'm doing another championship later this year, and they don't mention what, but I just kind of laugh at that. But I didn't know what to expect with him. You know, I think he's, what, 33 years old, which isn't, you know, too old or anything, but he's been retired for a handful of years. And coming back, and I didn't really know where to put him. And the field is pretty freaking deep this year. But
I mean, I figured he would be, like, around Justin Hill, Chisholm, like, so basically 11 to 15, like in that realm, I figured, like in this race, like if I was looking at this race, like where I'd expected Cole Sealy to be, I figured right around there. So he's definitely underperformed for what I guessed. But yeah, it is a long time being off. And then I don't think he's in very good shape. Like, it's easy to sit here and guess, I guess, but I feel bad if he actually is working his butt off and is in shape, and I'm saying he's not, because I've been on that side of the microphone, I guess, getting talked crap on. But like, I figured he'd come in a little bit stronger and want to perform. I know he's like all like, oh, this is just prep for another championship.
Another championship.
Yeah. But I figured he would be a little bit better than 18th. Around Grant Harlan and
Cole. Yeah, Harlan's in front of him.
Pretty normal. Yeah.
And I'm looking at the results right now, and another surprise is Chisholm. Chisholm, you know, number 11, got 11th place this weekend. P11 on that Suzuki and RM Army, baby. But where's he at? He got 11th with a 14, 12, and a 10. So, heck, he's still riding really good. Yeah. Another guy that's, you know, pretty up there in age when it comes to, you know, motocross terms, I guess, but...
Yeah,
he's ripping.
He killed it in practice too. That's what, like, you think he's 10th fastest or something, or 11th or something. And I was like, dang. So I put him on my fantasy team because I was like, that's good. Which he's a good dude. So it's cool seeing him get it figured out.
Yeah, and it stinks. I'm looking at the results right now. I'm like, nothing really stands out. That normally every race there's something where it's like plenty of talking points and stuff that stands out. But man, this race was just so freaking boring and not that entertaining. And, I was just sitting there. I'm like, come on. Like, I love watching Supercross. I'm going to watch the whole thing the night of. I'm not going to record it or whatever. But I'm like, something happened. Like, I know that both coasts of the 250 classes have been pretty boring all year. But after, you know, each race pretty much, you know, this weekend was pretty boring. You know, you had that little bit with Sexton stalling and whatnot. But even, like, there's nothing really good going on. You know, there's some small things here and there. But I don't know. It's pretty cool to see Dean Wilson got a top 10 there with P9 overall on the night.
Oh, and then getting back there, Colt Nichols, he got about P8. I thought I was impressed with that. Like, I mean, that's where I kind of expected him to be, but it was cool to see him come back and do it, you know. See, I mean, the first round he got 6, but then after that he was just on the struggle bus. Which I think he tore his groin or something, so he was slightly hurt before he actually ended up getting hurt at Daytona. But it was cool to see him come back, and he was getting good starts, like great starts, and running up front a little bit. Like, he dropped back pretty quick, but at least he's, you know, still solid top 10 finishes. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, it's powering off.
I guess so.
Oh, dang it.
Camera to shut off, but...
Oh, I mean, we're missing it.
Yeah. Oh, well. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, we got...
What? We got like 40 minutes, and we covered pretty much everything.
So yeah.
I was thinking like, dang, you went through that quick. Like, usually we're blabbering on here for an hour and a half.
I know. Normally and,
like,
it's like...
popping it short.
You're like, I only have an hour. Now I'm looking, I'm like, shit, it's 53 minutes. There's so much to talk about. Where now I'm like... Yeah, I was looking at the results. I'm like, there's nothing like that standing out that I want to talk about. Like, there's not much going on, but like those little things, like I said, but... Nothing too crazy going on, but I don't know. I'm excited for Atlanta. I did not see the track layout yet, so I think it's shorter than what they had. That was it 2 years ago when it was like a 1:50 lap time.
My camera is kind of toasty, but it's restarting. But it's a little bit warm. I think I'm overworking it some, but
jeez.
But yeah, sorry. Yeah, Atlanta being long, you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see the track layout, so I don't know exactly how long it is. But like, you know, 2 years ago it was a 1:50 lap, 1:50 lap time. Then was it last year? It was kind of like around Daytona, like a little over a minute, 1:10 maybe.
Yeah, 10:20.
Which I think they have a bigger, you know, they have a bigger space to work with because they like Daytona keeps on constantly shrinking with, you know, the pit lane there and stuff. So really excited to see how it's going to play out. And I really wanted to go, but I'm not going. So a little disappointed and a little bit sad, but I'll be having fun watching it.
You know, when I wanted to go to is Nashville.
Yeah, I wanted to go to Nashville and Atlanta, but even just going to Nashville would be pretty cool.
I've heard Nashville is a cool town to go to.
Yeah, all those honky-tonk.
Yeah, honky-tonk bars.
Country honky-tonk.
Yeah, dude. We're getting warmed up on our Thursday nights.
Yeah, we rode a bowl last, or a mechanical bowl. If we rode a bowl, ran a mechanical bowl. And
I think I set the world record for the longest mechanical bowl ride.
I thought I was going to fall off.
Prettiest exit.
I was 5 seconds out. I was like, oh, I'm a little dizzy. I thought I was going to fall off right away. But you had a little bit more of a gracious landing, or dismount, I should say, than me. Like, I was full on.
I slammed on your back and your head. I'm like, dang, I hope I don't do that.
It didn't hurt, though, but it was like it threw me off. I did the slow motion. I'm like grabbing it by its ass, like sliding off. I see it. Like, I don't remember any of that, but it was fun. But yeah, those girls there, like, we went to this country bar, and there's these girls there that are horse girls. And I thought I was good, like, the first night we went. I was sober that night. I did not drink. I was the DD that night when, we went, and I'm like, that was pretty good. I stayed on there for a while, and the guy was making that go pretty good. And then these girls come on, these country girls going with no hands, and I'm just like, man, I'm going to go home right now. Like, this is, like, these horse girls don't mess around. Like, they know how to ride and that shit.
Yeah.
Made me a little embarrassed, to say the least. But Nashville.
Weren't you the champion in high school?
No, I got second. I'm so pissed off. If anyone went to Lapeer High School in 2018 for their senior year, they know. So we had a mechanical bowl, and we did this all-night thing after we graduated. So this was like in June. We somehow wanted to come back to school and pull an all-nighter in school for some freaking reason. So we go there, and they're giving out like a buttload of prizes and stuff. And I think I got $50 and like a bunch of gift cards, or maybe like 2 gift cards or something, for second. Okay, so I lasted 91 seconds, and, like, I don't know. Like, that was way better than my rides at Coyote Joe's. Like, I have no idea how I stayed on there for that long. Like, I was even, like, getting videos from people across the gym sending videos of me on there because, like, what the heck? So 91 seconds, and the guy who beat me had, like, I don't know how long it was. It might have been, like, 94, 95, but he was using both hands. When you ride a bull, you use one hand in the air. Who uses two fucking hands on a bull? So that pissed me off. And I was yappering on, and we stayed till like 5 a.m., and that might have been at like 10, and like that just ruined my whole night. I'm like, I lost $50 right there. Should have been the champion. Got second. Fuck this place. And we're locked in. We couldn't leave if we wanted to, so.
That sucks.
To beat down the door and walk out of there. I was pissed.
When I rode the bull, not to like brag or anything, I think I was like 98 seconds, I believe.
Was it?
I think it's the video was around there.
I lasted 40. For 44, that girl that went and or after you lasted 44.
Yeah.
She was drunker than I was.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was fun. I did a lot better than I expected. It was cool. Like, I got off, you know, I exited beautifully. Like, I just stepped off the bowl. Like, it couldn't have been any better.
Yeah. Like, that was, like, it was like planned at all. Not even planned. Like, I don't know if you can plan it that well. Like, you just went, okay, I'm off. And like,
yeah. I mean, if you want, it's on my YouTube.
It's a YouTube short. Get them some more views, because YouTube is being a pain in the ass. And if you want to get monetized on YouTube, you might as well just pull your pants down and bend over, because they just want to rape all of us here.
You see, there's children listening to this, dude. Come on.
Well, they shouldn't. No. But click on that video. I don't know. It's the links on your.
Yeah, it's on my. I have a YouTube. YouTube channel, Joey Crown. It's in my shorts on the YouTube channel. You can watch the beautiful. It wasn't the whole ride. It was just, it would have been boring watching at the beginning. It was pretty slow, but like, it was like 30 seconds of me on the bowl, and then my beautiful dismount, and then a little bit of showboating afterwards. But no, it was a good time. It was a lot of fun. Got off it unscathed. Yeah, and unfortunately, they won't be back on the bull. If you guys are watching this,
yeah, I should get this up tonight. Just to let you know.
Give
so
what up?
This should be up tonight. So by the time you get that up,
sweet, sweet. So those of you guys are watching, whatever. I'll just I jam my wrist over the weekend. Whatever, I jam my wrist over the weekend. But so if you're watching, I'm wearing a little wrist brace. Like I'm doing all right. I'm doing fine. But yeah, for those of you that are watching this, I'm flailing around a little wrist brace, but I'll be okay. I was having some fun on a snowmobile and just laying a little bit of sideways and yeah, jammed her. But yeah, it'll be okay. Just gotta rest it up. And unfortunately, can't ride the bull tomorrow night.
Disappointing. Oh, but, dang it! How hot is it? Ooh, toasty.
It's warm.
Yeah, so I guess I'll be entertaining tomorrow night.
Yep.
The show's on me.
Be fun.
But
I think that was pretty good. I mean, that was...
When's that video going to... I don't know. That video's going to be up pretty soon, right?
The video... Yeah, I hope to post it up by the weekend. If not...
Stay tuned, guys.
Maybe tonight. We'll see.
It was a double. Video. It was not only a sled, but...
Oh, the video of me on this sled and the dirt bike. I thought you meant this video.
Oh, no. Yeah, that.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. It'll be up. I was going to post it tonight, but I was getting very angry at electronics.
Yeah, he's trying to do it before we set up here, and it sounded like me. Like, whenever I try to mess with that stuff, I want to, like, throw my phone out the window, the nearest window.
Yeah, so it'll be up tomorrow. I got, like, a GoPro video of me on the sled, on the track, and then jumped on my bike and got a couple laps ripping the moto track, and all in the same day. So it was a pretty sweet experience, and I'm stoked I got invited up to do that. My buddy Tommy and a few other guys who led the invite, and it's their track and stuff, and it's cool. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool doing both in one day too, you know. It'd be cool to do some snowmobile riding, but to be able to have the chance to do both in one day, and that track looked pretty sick too.
Yeah, that's cool. It was small, but dude, for 50, like, I was wearing my straight moto gear on the snowmobile, like my jersey, pants, regular moto gloves. Like, I was, you know, I had a t-shirt on underneath my jersey. Like, it was beautiful. And ripping the sled around. And I was actually, I was having a lot of fun. And I felt like I was doing pretty good. And I was considering, in my mind, like, thinking about, you know, maybe I could get a snowmobile and, like, do a couple races next year, you know. Because I was doing pretty decent. And, I wouldn't race pro next year. I'd do like the C class or B class or something, to start out on. But, yeah. And then right at the end of the day, I hurt my wrist. I was like, I don't know. Maybe I need to slow my roll on that and ride dirt bikes. Dirt bikes are safer. But,
those guys are gnarly. Like, seeing those, like, I really don't watch that much, but when I, you know, seeing clips of it, like the snowcross guys, like those, like, I'm like, how can they see, like, the mid-pack guys, just, like, those freaking absolute tanks of machines, like, flying around, those, like, whoop section, well, not, like, falling whoops, but, like, rollers around corners and stuff, and,
yeah,
like, those guys, like, I gotta admit, like, they're pretty gnarly.
Yeah, it's just, it kind of, like, I've never ridden a quad or jumped a quad, but, like, the idea of jumping a snowmobile, like, you got two skis in the front, right? So, same thing as a quad, like, having two wheels, right? If you had a kicker on the right ski or the right wheel, that's gonna kick you like to the left, like in a barrel roll kind of thing. So it took me a while to figure that out, and I still end up catching me at the end of the day and jam my wrist a little bit. But yeah, it's tough. Like, it's so much different than moto, but it's cool. It's a different challenge. I think that's why I had so much fun doing it, trying to figure it out. And I got significantly better as the day went on, and the more aggressive I got, the easier it was, essentially. Yeah, it was a good time for sure. We're gonna wrap this thing up or what?
I want to do fantasy picks. I'm just trying to. You know the wild card.
Fantasy picks. I do not. Are you pulling that up or?
Yeah.
Get it.
I can do it.
All right. Well, I can start with the top five, I suppose. So this weekend's Atlanta.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? I think I'm gonna
ninth place wild card.
What, ninth place wild card? Yep. Card. I'm stuck between Tomac and Sexton. Because Sexton almost won there. Was it last year that Cade screwed him up or the year before?
I forget. I don't know.
Almost got his first win there. And then Tomac ended up sneaking by. But then Tomac just crushed it this weekend, and he's good at Daytona. Right now, I think I'm going to go Chase, Tomac, Webb, Barcia, Roczen. And then wild cards is nine. Excuse me. Is nine. I'll go Adam, since we're all for ninth.
I hate making these picks. I'm confident in Chase and Tomac wins and it's like vice versa. But
yeah, I picked Sexton this past weekend.
I'll go with I was thinking about Chase, but it'll be a little bit different. I was in between him and Tomac anyway. It's like 50-50. So I'll go with Tomac for the win. Chase second. Yeah, I'll go with him second. P2, Webb in third. I'm trying to be a little bit different with this, but
I just send it.
Whatever. I don't know. Plessinger fourth. No, there's no way he's gonna be a fourth.
Well, he did almost win there that one year. He led for majority of the main and then crashed.
Okay, so
he is good there. So top five's possible. I mean, he's been kind of stinking since Detroit, which leads me to think he might be injured. But
I will have. He got P7. I don't know. Dang, I was gonna put him in P5. I have okay, so P4, Barcia, Roczen in fifth, or should I put AP? I'll go with Roczen in fifth. Screw it. Watch AP get fifth though, because I was thinking about getting like there's no way though. I guess not too much to ask for though. But ninth, I'll put Dean Wilson in ninth again this weekend. You know, hopefully he can get another top 10, you know, fingers crossed there. Building on that momentum from the Triple Crown. But then for the 250 class, I guess, you know, Rocky Mountain doesn't do that, but I guess we can do the top five at least, you know. I guess East Coast, but
Hunter. Wait, so this is back to East Coast then?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Hunter, Thrasher.
Thrasher?
Yeah, he's won twice.
Oh, yeah, that's when he got his win, then he went back. Like, where in the hell did that come
from?
Yeah,
he went from like 10th the weekend before to winning out of the LCQ. So if he ends up in the LCQ, I'm betting $1,000 he's going to win. No, I'm just kidding.
He looked good, though, like at Daytona when we were watching him during like free practice and qualifying. Like, he had that speed, and it seems like Detroit, too.
I wish a lot of those guys look good. It's hard to really
tell.
True. But yeah, he did look good. But yeah, going Thrasher, Hunter, shoot. Who's in there? Maybe just do top three, because I don't even know who'd even put in third. Who's been getting top three? Oh, Anstey. Anstey. That's my top three. What do you think?
I'm gonna top three only then. Okay, so I'm going to pick the Lawrence brothers. That's like an automatic lock. Watch me be wrong as I say that. But Thrasher, yeah, I can see him winning though. But I'll do Hunter. Put Hunter for first, Thrasher second, and Danger Boy, keeping that momentum going. For third, I don't know. Probably Ansi's probably gonna get third, but I don't know. We'll see if Danger Boy can pull off another podium here at a speedway track. But yeah, I think that's we pretty much touched on everything. You know, not that much to talk about, like, from last round, because that last round sucked, but, you know, still some good stuff to talk about, and really good to have you in the studio, so I'm out in here all alone, you know, having you guys on the phone, so kind of gets lonely, you know, but, yeah, good episode, thank you for coming in, and we'll see how our fantasy picks are, and see how many times we change it before, I don't know how much you change it, but I normally change mine a lot, if I remember.
If you remember to submit them.
Yeah, that's my downfall this weekend, or this year, like, Dean has to freaking text me your fantasy picks. I'm like, then I almost forget again. But yeah, thanks for coming in and yeah, get this up tonight. And yeah, if you get that video up, you know, I'll post that on our story too on the main or I guess either the main or this page on the pods page on Instagram. But yeah, been a pretty good episode here, and stay tuned for episode 51 next week, recapping the crazy action packed round of Atlanta. At least I'm hoping for. So, anyways, peace out, guys.
Have a good one.
I think she's hitting on me, man. If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too. And I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool. I have that Geico theme going on. And well, rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and it looks sick, but not only that, but the quality of them is really great. And that's something I was really pumped on, actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You know, you can post your picture on Instagram and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating. And that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too. So I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And then the link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism. And I'm also really excited to have a brand new grip company on board with us. I want to give a big shout out to Whiskey Throttle Grips. They make grips and apparel, half waffle, and soft compound grips. Go over and check out their Instagram at Whiskey_Throttle_Grips. Go on there, see what they have going on and all their cool grips. And right in their bio is their link to their website. So go check them out on Instagram, hit that follow button, and click that link in the bio.